when talking about the adoption process is a hymn that says, "In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way that you do just what you say in your time. In your time, you make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring with its winter and its spring. May I fathom everything in your time. There's a time, both for sowing and reaping, there's a time. Time for losing, time for gain. Time for joy and time for pain. Every purpose under heaven has a time. There are times, there are days, weeks and months we cannot understand God's ways. If for years we fail to scan what is eternal plan, we'll remember that He can all the time in His time." It's not the usual traditional song in our psalm books. But indeed, let's continue to keep our Ambrose brethren in our prayers, that things will work out as they would like for them to work out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 56, "The sting of death is sin." The power or the venom, what kills, what brings about death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. There's this deadly venom from the deadly mamba snake of South Africa. It's one that sometimes grows to be about 14 feet in length. It comes in two colors, black or green. Each one is deadly poisonous. The black mamba is extremely aggressive. Oftentimes it will coil back and jump to attack a man right at the torso, not even at the ankle, but at the torso. Some say that it is the most feared of snakes. One man, apparently, was bitten and died before the venom took hold out of fear. On another occasion, a mamba snake turned on a group of farm workers after its tail had been run over, and before they could kill that snake, it had killed 14 farmers. It is the mamba's venom that further makes it strange, because the venom of this snake, it paralyzes and deadens the victim's nerves before it kills. It paralyzes the person to where they don't feel that pain, and then they die. Moral sin, or the moral of this is that sin is just like that. That we get so involved in associating ourselves with sin that before we realize it, it has affected us, it has infected us, it has poisoned us, deadened us, and our senses aren't as alert or in tune of what we should be doing or the destruction that it's bringing upon. And then it kills us spiritually. The word that Paul used in the Corinthian passage is a Greek word, katron, which means sting. And in this passage, the word means destructive power, this deadly venom. Back in the book of Genesis, when God told man that they should not eat of a certain tree, because the day that they ate of it, they would surely die. And then the snake convinced Eve to take of that, and she convinced her husband that both of them should eat of that forbidden tree. The sting of death was sin. When man and woman disobeyed God, they sinned, they transgressed a rule that God had given them. And God said, "The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And that serpent made sure that it bit and delivered the poisonous venom of death through sin. Genesis, or Moses in the book of Genesis, describes the devil as a serpent, as the most venomous serpent, if you can imagine. Because this serpent doesn't just take our physical life, it takes our eternal soul to hell. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54, But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, that means that when we die, right, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Where is the power? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Notice that he doesn't tell us how to cure ourselves here of the poison once it's injected. He doesn't give us an anti-venom drug. He tells us how to avoid it completely. I have some dear friends that I believe that there's some screws loose in their heads that love to handle snakes. They play with them. They pick them up, wrap them around their necks, hang them over their shoulders. And I'm not talking about the pet snakes that aren't poisonous. I'm talking about rattlesnakes. Here the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't play with the snake. Don't toy with sin. How do you avoid getting bit? How do you avoid getting that venom injected into your veins? He said, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Stay away from it, is what he says. But all of us have sinned, haven't we? And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us are in desperate need of a Savior. And this is what Paul is teaching here. That it is through Christ Jesus that we have victory. It is through Christ Jesus that we can overcome. It is Jesus who indeed is a cure for sin. And just like sin entered through the first Adam, life eternal entered through the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. So this evening for our visitors, I am saying this to you. If you've not made a commitment to obey the gospel and to be faithful to the Lord, if you've not opened your mouth and confessed that you believe that Christ is the Son of God and had that belief that will move you to change the way that you're living, through repentance and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, I'm asking you to consider the venom of sin. That right now you are dead in your sins, dead in your trespasses, and that your eternity, your destiny, is eternal hell, suffering forever and ever and ever. So why not use the antidote, which is Christ Jesus, his blood, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and make the commitment to live faithful to him? I want you to do that, dear friend. Now, those of us that have already obeyed the gospel, we are not immune to sin, because we often sin, don't we, even after we become Christians. But the antidote, the remedy, is still the same. It is Christ Jesus. So my dear brother, my dear sister, you find yourself in a position where you need to make amends with God because you've sinned privately, then take care of those issues privately between you and God. But if you need to make amends because you've offended God and brought shame to the Lord's church publicly, then make a public confession, an acknowledgement that you have sinned, and ask God to forgive you, and the church will pray for you. But whatever your case might be, we all need to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As together we stand and sing.